Good morning. I've actually been waiting for this the whole morning. I put it up here so I had it and some water. I missed out. I feel overwhelmed in a joyous way to be able to talk to you today. I'm excited. I feel very fortunate. It's an interesting week of the year. We all come off one of the biggest family holidays of the year. We get together with our families. We concentrate on love. And then all of a sudden that new year starts rolling around. And we start reflecting on what we've done this year. We start thinking about what can we do better, maybe make some resolutions. I think it's one of the most reflective weeks of the year. And it's been a very interesting time to prepare a sermon as far as reflecting on my own life, reflecting what I wanted to speak about, and kind of think about what am I really convicted to say. As we get started today, I'm going to be in Romans 12. We're going to visit 1 Timothy, 1 Corinthians, and John later on, but my main scripture is going to be Romans 12. And I'm going to start with that in prayer, and then we'll kind of get into things. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for this wonderful book that we can hold in our hands, that gives us the life of Christ, that describes the death of Christ and the ascension of Christ. Lord, we thank you for these books filled with wisdom on how we are to live, how we are to honor each other and love each other. Lord, I ask today that you open our hearts and minds, that, Lord, that we take a challenge today, that we learn to be more vulnerable, that we learn how to love the imperfect. Lord, that we become in touch with each other, that we learn to love people that we don't know, and Lord, that we always challenge ourselves each and every day, not just going into the new year, but to reach a greater sense of spiritual discipline, for our prayers to be more fervent, our songs of rejoicing to be more joyful, Lord, our actions to be more giving, our lives to be more sacrificial, in our thoughts and in study of the Bible to be more honoring to the kingdom. Father, we thank you for the fact that you've given us a body with many members. We're thankful that you've provided us all different skills. Lord, help us to take some time to focus today and to really challenge ourselves to reach out to the kingdom. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen. I'm really convicted to talk about two things today. One is testimony, and the other is transformation. Transformation comes up in this passage of Romans, and my testimony is based on my transformation. The Oxford Dictionary defines testimony as a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. And like I said, mine is based on transformation. You know, I want to be vulnerable today. I'm going to talk about some things that maybe I haven't said in public before. Maybe they're kind of hard for me to say, but I think that our lack of wanting to be vulnerable with each other is something that's affecting our ability to change lives and affecting our ability to transform things. I grew up in a good home. My mom took care of us. My dad was on the road as I was growing up, not when I was very young, but as I went into school. And things were fine going through elementary school. I was different. If you know me, you probably can guess that. I've always been different. I've been unique. I don't always get along with people in the same way, and in some ways that creates like the greatest friendships I've ever had, and in some ways it creates stress for me. It's not always easy. I don't say the right thing every time. I have a bad penchant for doing that, creating myself problems in that way. In elementary school is fine. Kids are nice to each other. That's the best thing about being an elementary teacher. For the most part, everybody's cool. It's cool to like the teacher. It's cool to be smart. You know, it's everybody kind of wants to do the same thing. As elementary school wore on, I could see differences. I can remember probably in fifth grade, the athletes were kind of going in a different direction. I had some friends, a lot of my friends were going into band, and I wasn't really musically inclined, and I started to kind of pull away from a lot of different groups I had been part of. I still had friends here and there, and I thought of myself as having a lot of friends, but I found myself kind of restricting myself in that way. Like I said, I had a great family, but we lived kind of a long ways away from school, so it was hard. You know, in the summer, it was hard to meet up with people because we lived a half an hour away from school, and we weren't all on our technological devices at that time. So I played with my sister, and I didn't really know many people in our neighborhood. As I went into middle school, things got a little worse. Kids aren't as accepting. It becomes less cool to be smart. It becomes less cool to be different. And I wanted to be the same as people. And as I found the fact that I didn't fit in, I fought to be the same to the point where I started turning it around and saying, no, I want to be different. But it hurt inside. And that hurt manifested itself over and over to the point where I dealt with some very serious depression. People that have done unthinkable acts, I can understand the places that they were. It's not a place that I ever went where I had a plan to take my life or anything like that. But if I could have wished myself out of existence, I think I would have. I went into a deep, dark place, and I needed help out, but I was too proud. I wanted to fix everything myself. I didn't want to admit to it. I wanted to be strong. I pretended everything was okay. I pretended everything was okay to my mother. In fact, I can remember distinctly having this conversation a couple of years ago. Do you know what it was like for me? And she said, of course I did. But she was willing to let me find my way. But I know from that conversation that she knew at that point that I needed people in my life that were going to come into my life and show me a different way. My sister was invited to church by her friend, and we started going. And I tell people all the time, I went to play basketball. I was told, hey, they play basketball after class on Wednesday night. I said, I'm in. Well, it wasn't quite as smooth as that, but it was soon after that. And I met a man, well, I guess he would be a young man there. On Wednesday nights, his name was Joe Van Hooser. He worked out at the camp. It was summertime. It was between my 6th and 7th grade year. It was summertime, and I later worked at the camp, and I know what it was like. You got one night out. The rest of the night, you had to work with kids all the way till 9 o'clock at night. One night out, as a teenager, I think he was like 18 or 19, one night out to do whatever you wanted to. Well, within reason, we only made like 40 bucks. But one night out, and all Joe did on his night out was he went to Taco Bell. He bought himself some Taco Bell, and he went over to the Pure Church of Christ, and he sat there and taught a class. And there were nights that it was just me and him. He didn't go to have some huge presentation where there was 10 or 15 or 20 people to change lives. There were some nights it was me or one other person that was in there. And yet, that's what I needed. I needed somebody that was going to say, I'm not perfect. What do you want to know? And we walked through what it was like to be a Christian. We walked through the story of Jesus. We had gone to a Methodist church, and I had heard Bible studies, but I'd never picked up the Bible and felt like I had permission to read it. You know, I'd never felt like that was something that was within the realm of my possibilities. And as I started to get involved in this, I met all kinds of men. Some of the men that you know, and especially if you have connections to Lapeer, but people that were willing to make sacrifices. When my dad was on the road, Sam Pace and John Harvey would pick me up and take me to, you know, father-son night or basketball or whatever we did as a men's group. And again, I was that obnoxious kid that said the wrong thing and probably annoyed people plenty. But it's what I needed. It gave me a purpose. I began to discover Christ because these men who were willing to show a vulnerable side made a sacrifice for me. They didn't walk in and say everything's fine. They invited me into their homes, and I saw people who weren't perfect. And I knew I didn't have to be perfect. And I knew at that point that I needed to find my way from this pride, selfishness, depression. I needed to find my way to being the person that was going to be like that, that was going to help somebody else dig out of that pit someday. I knew I wanted to be like these men. I was baptized. I was on fire. I couldn't wait to tell all my friends. I wanted them to change, and it was frustrating. Man, when you hit that point where you're so excited that your life has changed and you've made a commitment and other people aren't ready to take that step, it's frustrating. I went on to college, and the greatest test to all of this hit me in college when I walked away from my support structure. And I stood there alone, and again, I was going to be the person that changed lives, and I found myself failing to change lives, and I hit a wall. And I stopped depending on God, and I started depending on me. I was going to get smarter. I was going to study more. I was going to be the agent of change instead of God being the agent of change between me. I stopped telling my story. I started to hide it and pretend I was okay. I'm perfect. Come be like me. All the while, I was pained inside. I fell into pride, I fell into selfishness, I fell into haughtiness, that I was more important than the sacrifice that was made for me. And it was a battle back. When I finally got back home, I started rebuilding my life. I started putting myself in better relationships. People in my life started making those sacrifices. I started seeing real people again. I really have been so blessed to have Jeremy here preaching, just read the Bible. You know, last night I was thinking, well, am I going to take my old Bible? Am I going to take my phone? Because that's what I usually read the Bible on. And I said, no, I'm going to pull this out. This was a great thing to me, you know, that we did a year or two ago. Just a simple Bible to read. Just read the Bible. Get in touch with how Jesus changed your life. You know, I brought back a lot of goals. I changed my life again. I got back to where I wanted to be a role model. I started teaching, working with teenagers, and I loved everything that I did, but I still, as I contemplate what's going on right now and as I give you my testimony, I'm still working on that. I'm still working on trusting God in the way that I want to trust Him. I want to be vulnerable to you, and I want to encourage you to be vulnerable to others. You know, this year has been difficult for me. If you know me, you know, we lost my dad almost a year ago. It was the first Christmas without him. Through all that time, last year, when we were in and out of the hospital, and you feel like finally 2 weeks are gone, we're out of the hospital, we're back in. You know, we drag ourselves here occasionally, put on the happy face, say everything's fine, we're good, we're good. I know we're all dying inside. It was tough. My backbone through all of that was working with these teenagers that are sitting here today, having to prepare classes, having them over to my house. They were my spiritual backbone. They were the people I was accountable to. I can't thank them enough for being in my life because they saw my life and I realized that they're the people that I'm ministering to. I can come here and pretend that I'm fine to a bunch of adults that I respect and I do respect you as my family, but if I'm saying I'm fine, it's probably when I'm not fine. We've become a consumer society that says, how are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? I'm good. And we pass by. And we don't get into that depth. We don't show what's going on in our lives. And that's where we're losing our ability to transform lives. You know, when I think about these teenagers and I think about the members of our community, I'm convicted they need to see through this facade. And I'm not accusing anybody of being fake. It's just the way we are. We don't want other people to have to deal with our garbage that we're pulling around. We don't want other people to have to deal with these things. But if they don't see through our facade, if we don't present that to our young people, if we don't present that to our community, we're taking away the power of Jesus. We're taking away the power that I'm a broken person. I'm here today because of Jesus Christ. I had a great family. Like I said, my mom's been my strength my whole life. But I'm here because Jesus changed men in my life who changed my life. And then I took on Jesus, and it changed my life. It gave me a purpose beyond just getting to the next day. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. Jesus fixed me. When we're not afraid to be vulnerable, when we're not afraid to make sacrifices, that's when we can have an impact. You know, the apostles' testimony in the first century was not just strong due to the fact that they had been with Christ. It was due to the fact that they had been changed. Jesus Christ took fishermen. Jesus Christ took tax collectors. He took guys who were full of faults. I love reading the gospel because I like seeing people like James and John, the sons of thunder. They were fools. They said some of the most foolish things that you could imagine. You can't be more foolish than they were. I love Peter. I know my mom must chuckle every time she reads about Peter in the Bible because that was me. Sure, I'll do it. Don't even know what it is. Peter just jumped in. He jumped in the water. He was ready to, I'll do it, before Christ could even explain what it was. He wanted to rush into everything just to show he was committed. These were not perfect men. Jesus can take imperfect clay and make masterpieces. And that's the power of it. When they spoke, when they walked up to those towns, they could not just say, I lived with Jesus, but they could say, I was a mess. I'm not a masterful speaker. I'm not an amazing person. I'm transformed. You know, that's the power. We see the Bible. We see these guys just, the church just multiplying by the day. And that's because people weren't afraid to say, I'm not perfect. I'm perfect through Jesus. I have a couple scriptures here, and we listen to Paul. And Paul's an interesting man. Paul wrote Romans, so I wanted to go back to him. But listen to Paul and how he would describe himself. You know, as being someone who is broken, as being someone who is the foremost of sinners. And 1 Timothy says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Here was a man that would describe himself as the worst of sinners, a persecutor of Christ, who was saved to write these books to show us how to live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." I feel what he's saying. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own great things that we come up with as we think, that we get caught up in our own human wisdom. And you said, "I came, the power of God, with the grace of God." He taught through his weakness that he had strength in Christ. It wasn't that he was a great speaker, and by all accounts, he probably was. He was a great writer. But he taught out of his weakness. I want to go back for a moment to Paul's letter in Romans and just read the first couple verses. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the context of this scripture is in not conforming to the evilness of the world. Okay, and we understand that, but I want to add one idea here. I was thinking about how can I take this verse and get to where I want to go with the world today. And the conformity with the world that I want to talk about today is that our world is stuck on an over-reliance of self. That's, at least in America, that's what we are. Make more money. Buy more things. Make sure you never have to ask anybody for a handout. People feel embarrassed to say, "Help me." We have an over-reliance on self. We want to do everything. I want to be the smartest person, the best person at this. I want to bring this message to you the best way possible. And it breeds selfishness, pride. It breeds these things. See, the transformation and renewal of the mind is to remind ourselves of our sinful nature. Not be caught up in this, "I am the reason that I am saved. I made this decision. I go to church. I do good works. I pray to God. I read the Bible." But be transformed into, "I am a sinner. I have a need. That need is Jesus Christ." When we have that need, then we can evangelize. Then we can support each other. Then we can come here and say, "I'm struggling, brother. Help me. Can I help you? Maybe I'm up on a high today." When we stop showing the world that we struggle with sin, we strip out the most important part of this message. The most important part of this message is the grace from God. The transformation. You know, this water doesn't mean, if we don't transform, we strip the power of that sacrifice that was made for us. And how are we ever going to show the world what it's like to be part of the kingdom if we don't show them where we came from? So where does that leave us? Well, we have a couple questions you have to ask yourself. Are you transformed? I would say yes. The admission, you know, if you've been If you've been buried with Christ in baptism, you have been transformed. Now, sometimes we lose touch with that. I've been in a spot in my life where I lost touch with living like I'm transformed. Do you live transformed? Could you give your testimony today? If you saw someone hurt and falling, and you see, maybe you know exactly what they're falling with, and it's something you've lived through. Could you give that? Could you say, I am a sinful person. This is how Christ has helped me. I think that's the key. I think our testimony is our key to evangelism. Jeremy's been talking about, you know, the Bible saying, go, do and go, go and do. Be ministers, go out together. Bring people to Christ. I think our key is that we have to be personable enough to say, I'm not perfect. Only through Christ am I perfect. You know, the rest of Romans 12 talks about us being one body with many parts. And that's a nice thing. Each of us has a testimony. Each of us has a story of transformation, and each of those can have an effect on someone. Some people may be better suited to evangelize, to talk to people. Some people may be better suited to support another person. Another Christian. Some people may be better suited to supporting a new believer, to being able to check in on them, to be able to say, you know what, I had a struggle. I struggled with this. Okay? You know, I've struggled with many things. I struggled with my pride. I struggled with my depression. I struggled with honesty. I'm really good at putting on the false face. I'm really good at saying, yeah, sure, I read my Bible. I prayed, I do all the right things, and let that crumple inside. And when you put on that false face, it's a lonely, lonely feeling. We need people to break through that. So how do we become more vulnerable to each other? You know, the Bible calls on us to confess our sins, and yet, before today, I don't know many examples of us confessing our sins. Maybe we talk to our spouse. Maybe we talk to a close loved one, but how do we become vulnerable to the point where we can trust each other? We talked about this today in the teen class, that love comes from trust. Trust comes from love. We do it out of love. You know, these verses all have a background of love. Love is the key. It says, be devoted to one another in love. If we don't love, we can't trust. If we don't trust, we can't be vulnerable. If we can't be vulnerable, we hide the fact that we're changed. So we take that all forward. Love is the key. You know, I'm going to end today with the words of Christ from John. And chapter 13. And he says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Loving everyone. We're going to be known by our love. We're going to be known by our vulnerability. We're going to be known by our testimony. We're going to be known by our transformation. You get to choose how you're known. But when you're vulnerable to the people in your life, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your spouses, your friends, when you're able to say, I'm not perfect, Jesus makes me perfect. That's what we'll be known by. And as a community of believers, we have to be known by our love and our trust, and we have to be vulnerable to each other. Because if we want to make a difference, if we want to make 2016 the year where this church thrives and grows and evangelizes and shows people that things can be different, we have to do that out of being, starting with ourselves first. It's not starting with what's wrong with the world. It's starting with what's in our heart. And that's got to be love. You know, we're about to offer an invitation, and a lot of times this becomes a rushed part of the sermon where it becomes hard to even speak because people are racing to that next hymn to get ready to stand up and sing. And that's fine. But this is like one of the most important times of our spiritual experience. You know, we meet around the table, we pray, we sing praises to God, but you know, we have gotten to this fast-paced society where if somebody walks up to sit in this front pew, we got to be beyond that. We got to show love because, you know, there are times I've stood there and I've thought, you know, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that's how I need to kickstart myself. Maybe that's what I need is to go and say, I don't feel good. I'm down. I need you guys. And that's what we need to be for each other. This area is where somebody can talk and pray for you and say, let's get you back on your feet. Let's get you back to feeling transformed. Let's get you back to the person that you want to be. Let's put that fire back in your life to share what Jesus has done. We have a chance as Christians to come forward and just fall to our knees and say, I am not doing what I want to do. I am trapped by this sin. I am trapped by my pride. I am trapped by the fact that I'm overwhelmed and I don't know who to trust. And we have this place to go. We have a place for people who haven't become believers to say, you know what? I know I'm not perfect. I know that I need Jesus Christ. I know that that is the way for me to be saved and to say simply, I know Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. I want to bury myself in my old life and be raised up again in the new. You see, all of this, when we come forward at the end, it's all to bury the old stuff. It's 2015 is over. We have 3 or 4 more days, and I wasn't counting. Bury it. It's time to walk together. And that's walking together in love, in trust, in transformation, being able to say, I want to walk differently in 2016. That's the challenge I have for you. Can you be vulnerable to yourself first? Can you be vulnerable to other people next? Can you trust? Can you love? Then you can share. We have a great opportunity. There's a bunch of loving people here. If you walk up here today as we sing this last song and you say, I need something to change in my life, we will pray with you. We would baptize you. We would get together with you and talk and support you in anything that you need. If you have any needs today, spiritually or any other way, please come forward and be part of our family as we stand and sing.